Welcome back to Laura Cocho here on SiriusXM Urban View. We're talking powers and becomes action. Still ahead, we're going to be breaking down precisely what this Insurrection Act means and how this phrase of posse comitatus has to do with limitations on President Trump's ability to use the military. We should start calling it what it is and what posse comitatus actually means. It means power of the county. So we'll talk about what this means and how we can break this down for you further. But we're talking now about this idea of bad apples and also this idea of what can really be done. Who are the actors that need to be fully engaged? We talked a great deal about protests who are speaking truth to power, how there has been a hijacking, an interloping in between those otherwise peaceful protests by those who are interested in self-gain, those who are looking at looting as the perversion of capitalism in many respects. And so I thought it's important to think about, well, as Congress has the power of the purse and people oftentimes are looking to speak truth to power and those who are in powerful positions in order to legislate change, looking to the executive branch to try to enforce these changes, the judicial branch looking at how to interpret the law and make sure that these will become precedentially based decisions that will prevent and deter and solidify our notions of what justice should look like in America. And finally, allow, much like flattening the curve with COVID-19, to really reach the end of that long arc of the arc that Martin Luther King talked about, bending towards justice. Can we get to that point? Well, you know, I think of the American people as that fourth branch of government. It is, after all, of, for, and by the people. There's another branch. This tree has many branches, and one of the most powerful ones are the ones that sort of answered the question, well, does money grow on trees? Well, one of those branches is the corporate sector. And they have had to step up to the plate in a few respects over the course of history when talking about what it is that can be done to codify justice. What actions can be taken? And we look to corporate America sometimes in absence of leadership in the political sector or to accompany it and to work in concert with it. And sometimes the corporate America and corporate sector has had to step in order to address in a more timely fashion and not wait for that arc of justice. I'm joined now by Crystal Ashby, who is the interim president and CEO of the Executive Leadership Council, ELC, which is the preeminent membership organization for Black CEOs, board directors, and the most senior Black executives at Fortune 1000, Global 500, and equivalent companies. She leads the organization's efforts to increase the number of global Black executives in C-suites, on corporate boards, and in global enterprises. She is the first woman president and CEO of the organization and traces her association with the ELC to her participation in the first class of the ELC's Strengthening the Pipeline Leadership Development Program. She is an accomplished senior executive, a board member, and lawyer with more than 33 years of leadership success, significantly in the energy sector. And her corporate leadership experience was gained over a 22-year career with BP, where her roles spanned government and external affairs, law, compliance and ethics, university relations, and retail. You can follow them at elcinfo.com or at elcinfo. And I'm looking particularly to Ms. Crystal Ashby because her experience may be in the energy sector, but it's the corporate side of the world. It's the corporate sector that is trying to add some energy into the unrest and make sure that we can actually have some idea of America realized. Welcome to the show, Crystal Ashby. I'm glad that you're here.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. I appreciate your efforts. And also, I'm very intrigued because people are not talking about corporate America. They're not talking about looking at Congress, looking at the ground, looking now to the military. What role do you think the corporate America can actually play in this? And specifically, why is it so important with the Executive Leadership Council to play that role and ensure there is a face and a voice of value?
So, Laura, first of all, let me say one thing before we start, and then let me step back and kind of help by starting with the last part of your question. But first of all, I would like to, on behalf of myself personally, the Executive Leadership Council's staff, leadership, and members, express our sincere condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and the long list of our Black family members that I can't even share the names with you now because the list is so forever long. So please allow me that moment of condolences for them. The tragic and unnecessary death of George Floyd in Minneapolis earlier this week and the ensuing unrest and are glaring reminders of the progress we need to make to have a truly equal and just society. Racism, as we all know, in any form is unacceptable, and the Executive Leadership Council is firm on that. We have to play a role in this, you know, as you asked in the last part of your question, because we are an organization that is comprised of Black members. We may be Black executives sitting on boards, sitting in C-suites at companies, but at the end of the day, we go home to families who we love and try to protect. We are critical pieces of our community. And we are an organization about what is Black about it in corporate America, on corporate boards. And so for us to be silent at this time is it would be blasphemous, basically. We have a responsibility to our constituency. We have a responsibility to our members. We have a responsibility to our families. We have a responsibility to our communities. So we have to make sure that our voice is not just heard, but that we are moving and changing the current situation to where it will get better at some point. I've experienced racism in very subtle ways and sometimes in very overt ways. There's lots of conversation now about microaggressions, et cetera, but as a child who grew up in the 1960s, I remember and saw firsthand the vestiges of hate and intolerance that we experienced during those riots. We all know racism and the exercising of it comes from ignorance. It comes from a desire for control, and it comes from a desire to exercise power. And so we have to collectively point out all forms of racism and be accountable for stopping them at every level. We used to have this phrase that we talked about, we were all being politically correct. Well, the reality is what has happened and fulminated with the unfortunate passing of George Floyd is that that political patina, that corporate correctness, that thing that was covering this so closely has clearly been ripped off the top. And what we're seeing in response is the pure pain, the anger, the disbelief, the fear that has been created in the Black community. You mentioned our mission, and I appreciate you sharing that. But when you talk about corporations need to start taking ownership in stopping anti-Black sentiment and actions, both overt and covert, because they have a lot of power. They have the power of the dollar. They have the power of voices that people listen to. We talk about social corporate responsibility issues. And when you look at that, as we try to come to terms with this COVID-19 pandemic that is ravaging our community at greater numbers than it's ravaging any other, we are now dealing with the pandemic of racism. And we look to our corporate member partners, but we also look to other corporations that we aren't connected to yet to be allies as we help them guide their organizations through this time and navigate this critical time. What I can say we know for sure is that it cannot be done alone. But what I also know is that the silence of the voices of power that sit at the tops of these corporations, that is a statement in and of itself. To be silent on something so critical as what is happening in America. And we have many member companies who have not been silent, who have spoken out, and we will be sharing their statements and we'll be talking to them about how we advance this. But if you ask me what can corporations do, I'll give you a few things that people should be thinking about. First of all, they have to be accountable to this. They have to admit and openly admit that racism towards Black people, regardless of their pedigree, their title, their position, exists in corporate America. Our member companies are doing this. Corporations have to start to treat racism as any other business imperative, just as they would any other corporate social responsibility issue, just as they would any other human resources issue. The bottom line is, if you choose to make it the cause du jour as a part of the, as a, opposed to a part of the foundation of your organization, and the fact that it is not acceptable, it will never get eradicated. We will never change. You have to develop a plan to combat it, because it has existed for so long that it is literally embedded in who we are. And the other thing that is probably so important is you have to be authentic in how you approach this. You have to admit what you don't know. You have to be honest and say where you think you need to change. We each have to own our own role in this. And as you own that, the conversations become more honest. The conversations cause change. So how you talk about this, it can't be from behind a screen that protects you. You have to be real with it. And more importantly, it's more than just talking. It's action. It includes placing more Black executives in your C-suite P&L roles, how you do succession planning for your CEO and all of your executive seats and in boards. What it doesn't mean is when you have valued all of these very, very talented, very, very creative Black executives, that when you look at times like this when things get hard, that you decide that they're the first ones that walk out the door. You have to stop yourself and think about the decisions you're making and what it says about your culture and what it says about how you occur in the world.
It's so important. That's your mission. And you know what, Crystal Ashby, it's an important mission, and one that, I mean, I can hear the passion and there was a statement you all released about even being difficult to harness the emotion, mm-hmm. to really be able to, we shouldn't contain it, but how do we direct it? And I think it's so important that people are hearing from you in the organization about, look, no, it did corporate America technically, essentially asphyxiate a man on a street in Minneapolis? No. But you know what? There is a connection nonetheless. And I want to take a quick break, and I want you to hold the line if you are able to. Are you able to, Crystal? Because I do want you
to. Yes, I am.
Good. I don't want to shortchange you. I do want to address and ask you, you know, what are corporations doing? Are we going to know the corporations that have spoken out? And can you please help people to understand that even if it wasn't at the hands of the corporate sector, that there is some social responsibility and acknowledgement that people want to spend their hard-earned money, although there are reports out today, according to the employment numbers and whatnot, about this, with the disparity in job numbers, but the idea of why it is not only the right thing to do, but why there can be an incentive, aside from altruism, aside from a social conscience, that can drive corporate America to doing the right thing. I want to talk about how this is actually sound business, and this is actually a good investment in the future of your company, of your sector. I want to hear from you after a quick break. We'll be right back listening to Crystal Ashby, the interim president and CEO of the Executive Leadership Council. We'll be right back. We're back now with Crystal Ashby, interim president and CEO of the Executive Leadership Council. Crystal, tell me, why is the idea of corporate America becoming involved and invested in trying to correct racial injustice so important, not only for altruism and the right thing to do, but it's also an incentive business-wise, right?
Yes, it is, Laura, and I appreciate that question. There are many studies out there that show that active engagement with your consumer boosts your bottom line, and that the diversity component of your organization, and if it is visible to the consumer, is going to be something that is going to directly impact your bottom line. If you encourage individual growth through bias mitigation, inclusive talent practices, and accountability, that helps to change the way your organization looks. But people want to buy, people want to spend their money with an organization they can trust, with an organization they believe in their value proposition. They want to know that you are somebody that stands with me. If I'm going to give you my money because we work hard for it, I have to understand that you are an organization that believes what I believe. And so for corporations to not recognize right now, Black America is saying we are in trouble. We are in the fight of our lives. This is a marathon, not a sprint, and it's one we have to win. They are well advised for financial reasons, if that's the only thing that is important to you, to step into this space. But I believe that that these corporations have very big hearts, even when they are evaluating their businesses. And that if they look at this through the lens of how they want to occur, they see the importance of it from that lens as well.
That is so important to note. Crystal Ashby, thank you for your time in illuminating this issue, because I do believe that there is a duality and people have to recognize justice in a holistic fashion. And I'm glad that the ELC is doing their part to help in the cause. Crystal Ashby, thank you. We'll be right back.